into your ears. Remember the theme, asking yourself, you invited to ask yourself, what am I doing in here? And then Claire, you can ask yourself that. I see you on my screen here, so I'm just using that name as a random. Don't take it personally. What am I doing in here? Because we're working with consciousness, and we have 90 minutes, and that's not much time. And I do a elders group once a year. I just got through with the third year, and I'm still young, as far as I'm concerned. I'm 75 until May. But the theme in the elders group is living in the death zone, which is the truth. We just have a very good time. So time itself has been there before we came into our bones, but time with reference to our bones, our body, is very precious, the precious existence here. So there's different things that's happening right now in our community at this very moment. You may be judging what's coming out of my mouth, maybe criticizing, and you may be, wait a minute, she just said that there's 30 minutes of meditation, and meditation is life. And remember, meditation is an English word, obviously, from Pali, Bhavana, Bhavanna, or Bhavana, Sanskrit, ancient times, predates the Buddha, this ancient time. And meditation is whatever you want it to be. Remember, medical, it's in the basket of healing, just like the Four Noble Truths, which is the foundation of what we are doing here today. Yes, I know I'm in the death zone, so this is one of the reasons why I accept the invitation to be here with you to share. We'll have time for Q&A. But understand the nobility, the noble truth, it's very precious. It's the foundation. It's like building a building, and the first thing they do before they even build the building is they have these cords to line out everything before they even do any digging. That can be the Four Noble Truths, or another way of looking at it.
Excuse me, Mr. Steele. I'm so very sorry to, I apologize. Sorry to interrupt. Could you get a little closer to your microphone? We have a couple of people having a little bit of a difficult
All
time.
All right, I'll turn my voice up. Those people, how is that? Does this sound better? Okay. Another way of looking at the Four Noble Truths, which he so divinely put together after practicing with or studying with all these various ascetics out there, Siddhartha, he went into solitude himself and found out how it works. The same thing we, all of us, was wondering when we were kids, and perhaps in our teens, what is life all about? How does it work? And so he gave the format. There's suffering, all the way to the other end, there's stress. Or there's an illness. The cause of suffering diagnosing the illness, stopping the suffering or stress, treating the illness. Then he gives us a prescription. Yadidam shatari purisa yuganiyata purisa pugala. The four pairs, the four noble truths, the eight kinds, the eightfold path. These are my closest disciples. Take any one of the eight and work with it. I hope to give you some things on conceptuality, points out that you have heard before. I suggest you write some bullet points down because I won't be going into them in depth. Another way of looking at the Four Noble Truths is he taught us to be our own physician. It's interesting. It's English is my second language, and it's never about the phrase, unless you're an attorney, you're in a courtroom or something like that. However, it's always what's behind the word. That's what I just went through this transition of changing the language, but what's behind it is the same process. So he was teaching us, like I just said, to be our own physician. So a surgeon or any medical doctor, but let's keep it simple. The surgeon, before he goes into the surgery room, he's already studied the charts, have some idea of what's going on. He knows what he's going to do or she going to do. And there's preparation. Putting on their uniform or scrubbing up. And then they step into that room. Because now I have the nobility, I can go to work. It's just when we're getting ready to practice, if you're taking your practice very seriously, before you even sit down. You have the nobility. If you don't, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be off base. Guaranteed. And there's a lot going on in our society, globally. However, there's some people, because of what I just said, have sleepless night. Some people are very, very frustrated. Some people are upside down. And oh, just bless those people who have seen their mom, dad, brother, sister die right in front of them. So it's intense, and that's just in a war. And what about not in the war? Just in the community, just in the city. Our mental health system, our hospitals. I'm trying to give you a picture of the forest. What I just did before coming on, I say, well, let me check the population, something I do. Every so many years. Every 24 hours, round number, 150,000 people died. And we will be in those statistics eventually. Every 24 hours, I had to do it twice. I went to another one to check this number out, two different organizations besides. Just the World Health is 385 people come in, are born every 24 hours. And I say, wow, Ralph, I remember when it was the other way around. And your bones is just 75 years old. Oh my. Way more people coming in, almost double, than going out. What does that tell us as practitioners? Okay. The infrastructure is not prepared for all these human beings. These beings coming in today, 30 years from now, 30 years is not a long time, not far away. They'll be 30 years old. So it's intense. Reality is what it is, like water is wet, trying to share the forest. So if you choose to get involved with any tree in the forest, that could be in a relationship with your partner, with your family, with your organization, with your community, you understand what is happening, because that's so important. Because the preciousness of our bones is so precious. And you took the time to spend some time here with me, and that's priceless, beyond words. More importantly, we all together are in this practice because we want to know how it works, and we want to learn, be more efficient in managing our body, speech, and mind. Compassion, love, that's deep in our essence. You only need to practice that when there's so much issues going on between our ears, the Brahma Vihara. But it's so interesting, we're blessed with compassion. We're blessed with it. It's just radiating naturally, like nature, like a flower blooming. Understanding that. But most important, people, anything outside of our skin is a war zone. So you really have to pay attention. You really have to pay attention. Working with the nobility 24/7. Yes, there's the fourth of the four postures, and that's lying, which is the most difficult compared to standing, walking, sitting. But you need to work it. Let's see. Ananda, as in the sutras. For all you old students, you probably know of this. This is what he mastered, how he realized how it works through lying. Lying down. I happened to be, had the pleasure of meeting one master, and he shared with us, and it was through walking. Amazing human being. So, is finding your posture and beginning to work with it, utilizing the other postures when you get frustrated, when you get too frustrated, when it gets to be too imbalanced, when you don't know what equanimity means anymore. Well, just shift your bones to another posture. Don't sit there and create more suffering for yourself. Time is too precious, much too precious. I'll come back to this, but right now I want to not say let's be quiet, because that means that you're going to do something you usually do. And I would like to invite you to do something different. And the only way you can do that is if you lend yourself to some words that I'll share in meditation here for about 20 to 30 minutes. Before I do that, yes, looks like about 50 to 80 some people here. I can't see that well. All I have is one eye. I'm a Vietnam vet, but I'm here. But I will do a chant, an invocation to the Devas, because we need all the help we can get. And I'm going to chant it in Pali so your right brain can just relax and just soak up the vibrations as you go into continue. Not go into, excuse me, continue with your meditation. Samatha Chikilawala Su Antragachantu Devata Sagamukadam Sage kami charo pe giri Ratate game turuane gahane watami kate. Chitante santi Buddha Sawana Kalo Ayam Badanta. Dhamma Sawana Kalo Ayam Badanta. Sangha Sawana Kalo Ayam Badanta. Sammasambuddho Buddham Bhagavantam Abhamemi Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhamman Namasami Supatipanno Bhagavato Sangam The mommy. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato. Budong are you with the tongue, jiva tongue, yavanabana, sari nung chami. Damong are you with the tongue, jiva tongue, yavanabana, sari nung chami. Sangam, are you with the tongue, jiva tongue, yavanabana, sari nung gachami. Dutiyampi, budang, are you with the tongue, jiva tongue, yavanabana, sari nung gachami. Dutiyampi, Damong, are you with the tongue, jiva tongue, yavanabana, sari nung gachami. Dutiyampi, Sangam, are you with the tongue, jiva tongue, yavanabana, sari nung gachami. Tatiyampi budang, are you with the tongue, jiva tongue, yavanabana, sari nung chami. Tatiyampi damang, are you with the tongue, jiva tongue, yavanabana, sari nung chami. Tatiyampi sangam, are you with the tongue, jiva tongue, yavanabana, with grace and compassion and joy. Allow the awareness to have an object of practice. If it's the breath, begin to notice the beginning and the end of that breath. You're invited to put a very, very slight smile on your face. Someone observing you, they can't even see it, but they can feel it. Allow the sensation of that smile to be the envelope for our bones to sit in, to be in. Begin to take in some deep breaths. Check in with yourself. What insight you may have gained so far, maybe, and questions that you may have. Now, getting back to the nobility, as I mentioned before, the first, if you constantly stressing yourself up, or poor me syndrome, you're caught into that, then this is the beauty of the Brahma Vihara. For lots of reasons, but more importantly, self-respect. And self-assurance. This is why he gave the Brahma Viharas. He gave those teachings because the monk went into the woods. They were already in the woods, but they went further into the woods by themselves to practice. And they got scared. And I've been into the woods on the border of Burma and Thailand, and I've never seen experienced forests like that before. And I was born in the swamps of South Carolina. And so I totally get it. And so they ran back to the Buddha, and this is how the Brahma Vihara came to be. Now, moving into the second noble truth, the cause. Multiple situations can get in the way of the primary situation of your patterns. Because our body is just loaded with all kinds of unhealthy, besides healthy, but unhealthy process since we came out of the womb, as well as being in the womb during those times. He gave a lot of different kinds of, I call them skills, basket of skills. For example, one set would be the seven factors to awakening, or you can call it seven factors to enlightenment. It's beautiful. You bring in, there's mindfulness, investigation, effort, rapture, calm, concentration. And equanimity. Now, it's seven, but it's so intricate. The first one, mindfulness. Remember, mindfulness is the most utilized skill throughout the Pali Canon. Okay. So how I see mindfulness, how I work with mindfulness to keep the importance of it. One is definitely in utilizing it, intent. The right intention needs to be there. And then mindfulness is like a rock star to me. You know, as it moves around like rock stars or very famous people, as they move around, they have bodyguards. The bodyguards for mindfulness is the fourth of the four noble truths, is the eight elders. Remember, these are my closest disciples. Learning how to utilize them is one thing, intellectually knowing these various conceptualities or skills, and it's a whole nother world working with them, because it's totally priceless of our own personal experience in working with the practice. Because each one of us is unique. So, with that said, you take in mindfulness goes with the other six. And the first three is about bringing your energy up. This is really good practice, especially if you're in retreat. Investigation, effort, and rapture. Once your energy is up, then this calmness, concentration, and equanimity come into play, that balance. The concentration is very, very important there, especially when calmness comes in, because you can get so sucked into what I call the bliss pool. Another word for calmness, spaciousness. Get lost. Say, oh, that was such a great meditation. What was so great about it? What did you do? I don't have a clue, but it was so nice. We have work to do, okay? These are amazing, amazing skills when you utilize them appropriately. So there's that set, because our patterns get in the way, and it makes it even more difficult to have understanding of the second noble truth, diagnosing it. Because the depth of it, of why I keep doing this, why do I keep, what makes this keep happening? So I am triggered, but what perpetuated? And don't have a clue that we are the one that's perpetuating it till it becomes automatic. Remember, our body, speech, and mind is the intelligence of it. Is beyond our conceptuality. Remember, not only have we created a cell phone, but we also created AI now. So we are very brilliant. So don't underestimate that. However, we live in nature, the physical body, our bones. It goes back to nature, the basic elements. Don't forget that. That's another big piece, is nature. Nature rules. We always say that. Even the Buddha said, nobody is above the great elements. Nobody, including myself. So learning how to be humble, learning how to, what I tell my students, let it teach you. Let your bones teach you as you're working in there. Let it teach you, because it's always giving us information, but we're not always paying attention. We're so distracted. So distracted. A final piece that I may say that really helps in practices, there's so much in this particular area there with regards to diagnosing and treating the second and the third noble truth, is our five faculties. You've heard of that. Faith. Or conviction, Okay. Or a better word, how about this one? Trust. Because it's your practice. And you're the one that's in charge right now, working your body, speech, and mind. And once that's set in, then here comes you allow persistence, staying with it. Another word would be consistency. Consistency. Oh, I keep doing this, but after a couple of days, I had to let it go. Consistency. How come you had to let it go? Because something else happened. Distraction. Then mindfulness again. Remember, when we're talking about mindfulness, well, there's the foundations of mindfulness. Body, mind. Feelings, objects of mind. There's so much material, so much skills that they are all so precious, people. And you don't need to know them all. You just need to find out which one is working for you right now. And then you hang out with that one and notice what you learn with regards to that. Then, after concentration or trust, persistence, mindfulness, then comes concentration itself. Trust, persistence, mindfulness, concentration. And in this area, once you have so many tools in working with concentration, concentration is just another word for, right, paying attention. However, you can pay attention and starting a fire, don't even know you're starting a fire. The heat is on, and you don't even know how to turn the thermostat down or up. So this is the insight that goes in there. That's all I'll say about that piece right there. But the final piece of the five faculties is equanimity. Because we're moving in the area of subtlety now in your practice, equanimity. I like to see equanimity is like a bird, big bird. We have ravens here in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I live, at 7,000 feet. There'll be maybe 100 to 200 feet up in the sky, and they're not flapping their wings. They found the air current and they're just riding it, turning their wing, one of their feathers or two of their feathers a little bit, and they go this way or that way. This is the same thing with your practice. You're very subtle, way leaps and bounds beyond what we would call physical discomfort and emotional discomfort. The intensity is not erased, but the intensity of both has decreased tremendously because you have allowed it to happen, because you are allowing your sense of self, to be humble in there. So the information and insight is just filling up what's between our ears. And you won't be able to assimilate it until after the fact. Maybe the next day after you've laid your bones down a little bit. So there's a few of the conceptuality that I introduced with working with the nobility with regards to having your surgical uniform on. Again, you can take any one of the Eightfold Path to prescription. Any one. Say, okay, I'm going to spend like I've done. I used to start with a week, then I went to a month, then I went to 6 months, then I went to a year. And at the end of the year, I do an assessment. It doesn't take long to do an assessment because it's you with you. Minutes. It can be seconds. Oops. I think I better do another year. Oops, I better do another month or 6 months. You learn so much. It's your final piece before I open it up for questions. The Eightfold Path is better than your personal trainer. But take one at a time. Not Yeah, there's the three basket, but take one that this is my advice. One at a time. And enjoy. Enjoy. That slight smile. Have fun. And there are always going to be issues, okay? Issues internally, and of course, we know there's issues externally, okay? All right. Questions or comments? Please. This is just an introduction, people. That's all. Or preamble to the introduction. Deborah, please.
Oh, Mr. Steele, you are chanting was so exquisite, and I'm 74, and I'll be 74 in May. I'm going to please take your word. It moved me in my bones. So thank you so much for your generosity of sharing that lengthy, breathtaking chant with us. Real quick, respectful every bit of everybody else's time. And I've been practicing quite a long time. I'm still not getting, in this context, exactly what you mean by nobility, if you wouldn't mind. I'm not quite getting it in this context. Thank you.
You're
Thank you
welcome.
for everything. Thank you for everything.
You're welcome, Deborah. Yeah, mine's May 11th, okay? Is when my bones came in the world. Now, the chanting. Oh, when I was in Myanmar, okay, it's called Myanmar now. It was Burma then. And it took me almost a month to get into the country. But once I got in the country, oh, wow, I felt at home. I was really at home. To make a long story short, it was one moment I was walking by this building, and in this building is the public meditation. And the doorway, now the understand the temperature is between 85, 95 degrees, but with the humidity, it's off the charts. I could literally see what I thought was, it looked like steam coming out of the door. And the sound that people were making. Yeah, all right. You know, Burma is more of an English-speaking colony because of the British colony. And not saying they speak English all the time now. Okay, that's a whole nother line. But they were just rocking, just like in a gospel church. Yeah, all right. Wow, what is going on? And I noticed one of my senior monks was giving the Dhamma talk. And I just stood outside because it was all in Burmese. But I wanted to know what he was talking about. And all that steam was the energetics. And people, they were just involved verbally in the talks as the teacher, as you go to any gospel church. I've never experienced anything like that. And that's Burmese. And he walked out of there, and I said, "What were you talking about?" He looked at me and smiled, loving kindness. Okay. But it totally changed my world because I was so used, how the teachings here and how the community here in the West, not just in the USA, but in the Western world. All right. Doesn't matter. Okay. And there, people are just involved or more involved than the teacher themselves. And so that's when I began to the invocation, and then some other lines came into my mind, in my heart, and so I've shared that with you too. And Ralph, I could have just kept going on and on and say, "Wait a minute, Ralph, say you only have 90 minutes." So, okay. So so that's where that came from. Nobility, the noble truth. There's nothing more precious than the Four Noble Truths. That's why it's called the Four Noble Truths. And if you think about it, it's so amazing. That's why I associate it with the medical terminology. That's amazing. And what? We're talking more than 2,500 years ago now, okay? And he put that together, and here in not just Western medicine, shaman, any kind of healer on the planet, use those four processes. So that's why I used the word nobility, Deborah. Thank you. Yes, please.
We have another question in the chat, asking about studying the Eightfold Path. Can you recommend one good detail resource to study it more?
One good. You're so bad. One good? Oh my God. The reason why I got my glasses on because I saw IEE, but first I thought it said ICE. So sorry. Apology. I would suggest to go to Amaravati. That's Lhompho Sumedho's monastery. That's the lineage that I was in, Ajahn Chah, Sumedho, Amaravati. And they're good books. And the best part, the best thing, is they're all written by monastics. So a reason why I'm saying that is because the writing is coming from experience than just good authorship. And there's a difference. And I think, I'm not sure. Yes, Tani Sorrow. I know you just asked for one, but Tani Sorrow, Metta Forest, metaforest.org or metta.org. And I think one of his books is written on the Eightfold Path. He's a monastic as well. He writes every day. Connie Sorrow and Bhikkhu Bodhi, those are our senior Theravadin translators now. Connie Sorrow, he's younger. Bhikkhu Bodhi, he's a master, 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 master. He's in his early 90s. Bless his heart. Yes, please. If it's in a text, someone please read it for me, please. If you send me a message text wise, would help.
It's not a question, just a comment in the chat. Sorry. For me, nobility of this path lies in its recognition of the inherent dignity of every human being.
Beautiful. Couldn't have been said better. The best part is we are one. And then you look in the DNA and all that, and it goes back, and it keeps going back, and it keeps going back, and it keeps going back. BC. And it just keeps going back. But each one of our bones is so unique and is so special. And you need to find out, and only you will know what works for you. That's the kind of freedom. That freedom, there's nobody in the universe can take that away from us. Nobody. You can be locked up in incarceration. I've did stuff in San Quentin, met some amazing, amazing, amazing human beings when they decided to turn their life around. Amazing. Comments, questions? Feels good in here, huh?
I can't seem to get my hand to raise. I have a question.
I hear your voice, sir. Please speak up.
Okay, so we have inherited integrity. All right. But it plagues me. What about the inherited integrity of this planet that we're ruining? How do we have inherited integrity if we're doing that? So I was a farmer and a forester for many years, taking care of the land, and I loved all the sentient beings, but I'm ashamed of humanity.
I hear your comments, sir. And Ralph Mitchell, I was brought up, like I said, in the swamps. Transportation with horse and wagon, outhouse, all that. Food off the land. So I touch on a little bit with regards to you and nature. Soon as you said we, you know, I was trained to teach meditation. I didn't study politics or sociology. So Ralph Mitchell Michael Steele has learned to stay in his own lane. So there's no way I could respond to your question, in other words, not a question, but that statement. That would help our community here today. But I support you in what you said, sir. And if the best thing to do, all of us to do, is to continue trying our best to be a good human being. Thank you so much.
It looks like we have Deborah for an on with an encore.
Do you mind, Nelsie? Do you mind,
No,
Mr. Steele?
I don't mind.
Okay, thank you so much. So you said to have bullet points. Well, I got a lot of them. Mr. Steele, I want to go back to equanimity because, and it for me, it's a foundation as well, because my goal is always inner peace. And of course, loving kindness for others, of course, and self. So, in equanimity, and when you and I were youngins, we remember just go with the flow. It's not that I become passive, and this is a question, Mr. Steele. It's not that I become passive. I notice, I acknowledge, and yet I do my best not to have a craving for or an aversion to that it be another way. Would that be correct? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Deborah. Equanimity, first, equanimity is individualized. In print, there's a definition, obviously, but in practice, it's individualized. Another word could be balance. What's balanced for me is not balanced for you, in other words. Okay. And so, however, in that process, like you were saying, the passive is this is where you utilize, you're making sure your lens that you're looking through is not your ideology. Not that is so important that you're looking through the lens of the nobility that I mentioned, the Four Noble Truths. That's long as you're doing that, boom, you're on the pulse, Deborah. But if you're not doing that unintentionally, okay, unintentionally, and this is the biggest mistakes for so many practitioners, is the unintentional piece. You go off the path. Okay. Because it's especially for us who are in the death zone. There's no room for mistakes. You see. So, okay, I'm doing this practice. I've been doing this practice for 3, 4, 5 decades or whatever. However, yes, the Four Noble Truths is going to be my eyeballs. It's not going to be what's between my ears anymore. It's my eyeballs.
So then would it be correct to say that I do my best to hold a space for the suchness? The suchness, it is what it is, without clinging, grasping, and attachment. Thank you, and I'm done.
You're right on the pulse. You're right on the pulse. Just be careful, but be careful with the language, okay? Don't say I'm holding the space. Just let it teach you. Yes, this is the life of the Dharma. It has a life. It has an intelligence. Okay? In the Buddhist religious studies was one of my majors. Okay, and believe me, I studied them big time. I was just one or two out of the department that got board honors out of, I don't know, 300, 400, 500. Went to Santa Clara because I was going to become a Jesuit, so I wanted to take on these guys. Because the Jesuits, still to this day, if you think about it, people go into confession for a long, long, long time. Don't matter what kind of people. Jesuits has never been called in the courtroom. Never. Okay? Understand the farce. Do your practice. Because there's just, it's treacherous out there, and your gender, be careful. Just like myself, your gender, all right? You're right on the pulse. Thank you, ma'am.
And I noticed I said I, and there's no self, so thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Comments, questions. I'm really glad I didn't become a Jesuit, everybody. Oh my. Oh boy, I'm so glad.
There is a comment of appreciation. I really appreciate your phrasing use of the word bones. For me, it has this way of stripping away the conceptual body and relationship with it and helps me settle down into something deeper. I find this very meaningful and will carry it forward. And then we have another comment in here. The Persian poet, philosopher of the 12th century states, "Yesterday I was clever and tried to change the world. Today I am wise and changing myself."
All right. Yes, that's right. I
Good.
just before you say anything else, the reason how bones came about for Ralph, well, you see the kind of body I'm in, okay? My high school, English is my second language, as I stated. My high school was in Japan, okay? And so I came back to this country. I had five or 6 months of high school left. And this is during the 68 riots. Okay? Just understand, 17-year-old kid, I really thought the world was coming to an end. It took 4 days for me just to get to my parents' house where I live. They wouldn't let me go there. This is the police saying, I'm being honest, showing them my driver's license, my military, I forgot, dependent card, address on there. Son, there's no niggas that live out there. And my hands better be up in the air, four cars around me, guns pointed at me. Oh, yeah. And so, having all that in my consciousness as I age and everything, just like women, gender and so forth, and then there's the gay and so forth, and on and on and on. Humanity is just dong outright nasty and crazy and treacherous. It's always been like that. So you need to find something. I'm glad the person that your relationship is to the bones. Because yes, that's what it comes down to, and that's really what it comes down to. And if you can let your consciousness let it come down to just that, oh, your anxiety and volumes and volumes of being abused mentally or physically will just be flushed down the toilet. You'll be a definitely a new person. Those of you in your 50s and 60s say, you know, we get a new body every 12 or 13 years. Brand new body. Okay. That's a fact. Okay. You wanted to say something? You had something else you wanted to, some more comments? Yes, ma'am.
There was just another message of gratitude and resonance, thanking you, Mr. Steele, that this was very beautiful and insightful, which I wholeheartedly agree. But it's late, so that person was getting ready to go off to bed, but wanted you to know that she loved the story about the chanting monks in Burma and the comparison to the gospel. Thank you for your wisdom from
You're
Carolyn.
welcome. You're welcome. Give you all some information. This is 2028. Yeah, 2000. Insight Meditation Society. Joseph, dear friend of mine, they're building a new meditation hall or adding a new meditation hall. It's going to come online on in 27, and they're celebrating their 50 this year. And he invited me to teach a retreat there, and so I decided to teach a retreat there in 28. Okay, so I'm giving you a heads up. It only can hold 60. So yeah, giving you a heads up, and believe me, it is not going to be like the Western Vipassana retreat, because you know Ralph now. Okay. All right. We got time for one more question or comment.
Hello,
Thank you
sorry, I
very
can't get my hand
much.
to pop up.
I was going to say something.
Go, please. Start again.
Who, me, Shelley? Okay. Sorry, I'm sideways. I don't know how to fix it. But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, you were saying something about 12 years our body renews or something. What's that mean? Did you
I
say
don't
something? Don't
know.
know. Okay, sorry.
12 years,
Are
no.
these are not recorded.
Oh,
Are
every
they?
12 to 13 years, we get a brand new body.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
Okay,
Thank
nature gives us a new body. Our bodies changes every 24 hours. We get a new skin. Okay,
Right.
but
Yeah.
every 12 to 13 years, we get a brand new body. So
Okay.
anytime this, I'm also a trauma specialist. So anytime our consciousness goes to something like more than 12, 13 years back, that's a total different human being.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Okay? Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. Yeah. There was a gentleman that wanted to say something.
Yeah, hi, Ralph.
Hi.
I'm not sure there's a question as such, but I'm a veteran. I served for 27 years in UK military and went to Sierra Leone and Iraq and Afghanistan and experienced PTSD and other things. And a lot of that led me to starting to practice about 8 years ago now, and it's entirely been transformational to my life. So it's, I just find it really heartwarming to see somebody else that's a veteran and served, because when I first started practice, I think I almost felt like an intruder, like I didn't belong, surrounded by other people who practiced, and they were try and choose my words carefully, but would speak very much from their heart about what was upsetting them and what was traumatic, and I would just sit back and listen and think, and you think that's traumatic? You have no, you have no idea. And it's taken me time to adjust and figure all that stuff out, but it's an amazing journey, and it continues. I just came back from a sort of self-imposed 6-day 6 day retreat of meditation all day, silence, no phones, everything. And I've been listening to some of Joseph's stuff on Satipatthana Sutta, and really, really, really been working on just sort of, bare attention in the Nietzsche. And it's all the time that things just deepen. And that guy that was in the military for a long time, that was somebody else. That's something I did. That's not who's here now today. So I just wanted to say appreciation for your teachings and your background. So thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Are you in this country, US of A?
No, UK, England.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You invited me to go to my website. I'm listening to you talk and what you just said. The first thing my brain was saying, Ralph, you hearing your twin brother. Everything that came out of your mouth. You hearing your twin brother. Yeah. Same thing. When I went to meditation retreat, I had zip it up. No way. No way. Yes, exactly, sir. So it's good to know that it's not just in this country, it's universal. And yeah. And so yeah, you're still invited to go to my website, and because I do retreats for vets once a year, and I'm looking, the reason why I asked if you were in this country is because I'm looking for vets who have done retreats to get into teacher training
Oh,
program
wow.
put together. Okay then.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
sir. Yeah, thank you. Heartwarming. Let's do this closure in English. Such good what we have cultivated. And so let's, and the gentleman spoke about being a farmer and humanity. So let's give this medicine, let's give this medicine to our planet and to every human being that's out there, to anything with a heartbeat. Okay? Especially the angry, angry, angry human beings and the ones that's way off the post. Through the goodness that arises from our practice, may our spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, our mother, our father, and our relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world. May the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent, or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings from our light. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. From the goodness that arises from our practice, and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachment quickly cease, and all harmful states of mind, until we realize Nibbana. In every kind of birth, may we have an upright mind. with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken our resolve. The Buddha is our excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is our noble lord. The Sangha is our supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled. Yama.
Namaste.